We are focusing on missions during the month of January for the Word for Life radio ministry. And I want to call your attention to one verse, John chapter 9. Jesus is speaking, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You know, every believer would say that our expansion of the gospel to the ends of the earth would probably be urgent. But God wants us to know that it's not urgency that should face us, but emergency. An emergency landing of an airplane means all hands on deck to deal with terrific horror and tragedy. Emergencies that are called code blue mean somebody's life is at stake. The emergency of a fire in our building would mean that we would stop everything we're doing and deal with the fire or everybody get out. See, emergencies come uninvited and challenge our strength and our reserves. Whatever it costs, the emergencies have to be met. Firemen risk their very lives to rescue those who are caught in the flames. When a code blue takes place, doctors don't continue to fill out their forms and then come when they have nothing else to do. No, it's an emergency. It's not just urgency. You know, that was totally missing with the sinking of the Titanic. It was never seen as an emergency. Now, at first, only three men knew that it was an emergency: the captain, the first officer, and the engineer who designed the boat. But they didn't tell anybody. And the first few lifeboats that were cast off from the sinking ship only had 13 to 17 passengers, though they were capable of holding 60 adult men. Because the folks in the lifeboats thought that they would only be staying in the lifeboats for an hour or two, and that they would be returning to the ship. In fact, the band continued to play. It was not seen as an emergency. One of the richest men on the boat took off his life jacket and donned his tuxedo. He wanted to die in style. Didn't seem to be an emergency to him. Some even went back to bed and chided those who had awakened them. Now, there was one bright note. One of the ship's employees saw a mother and two children who had no life vests. He took them to his private quarters and gave them his personal life vests and asked them to pray for him when the boat went down. I guess the greatest tragedy, the owner of the shipping company who owned the Titanic got into the first inflatable lifeboat and rowed off, leaving hundreds of victims on the boat to die. And many more could have been saved. But it was never presented to the people on the boat as an emergency. But no emergency can compare with the emergency of the gospel presentation. There's so many things that we need to be focusing our attention on, but it's not just an emergency of life and death. It's an emergency of spiritual and eternal separation from God, and an eternity in the flames of hell. So it's not just urgency, it's emergency. And the emergency of the gospel is proclaimed on the pages of the Bible. In fact, the ministry of Jesus Christ reveals the emergency of the gospel. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work." Note the word must. I must work the works. It was an emergency. The shortness of the time for this emergency. He said, "The night is coming when no man can work." Have you ever wondered if we are really approaching the last day events? Are you seeing the world scene unfold to set us up for the tribulation and the attacks on the nation of Israel? Ezekiel chapter 38 tells us so many things in relationship to that. I have in front of me information concerning a fulfillment of gospel prophecy. It talks about the meetings with Russian President Putin and the Iranian President Ahmadinejad. And so many things are mentioned there, and how those two countries are working together. And Putin is fervently working to build alliances with Islamic and Arab powers, including Iran and Syria and Lebanon, Sudan and Libya and Algeria and several Central Asian states, as well as Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world. That's interesting. The Bible offers a clue to what could be happening. Because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel foretold a Russian-Iranian alliance that would form with a group of other North African, Middle Eastern, and Central Asian states in which the Bible calls the last days. For most of the past 2,500 years since the prophecy was written, this had failed to happen. But now, these kinds of alliances are taking place. Oh yes, we can see God setting the stage, and so we begin to understand it is an emergency. John 4:35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Look at the people around you. Look at the condition of our country. Look at the condition of our world, desperately needing the gospel. Matthew 9:37-38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, why should we all be praying for the local church outreach? Because we need to be praying that God would give us tender hearts toward those who are lost, that we would not have a calloused attitude toward the lost and dying. We need to be praying for our teenagers to really consider God's emergency situation and volunteer like Isaiah did. We need to be praying that our philosophy would change in our churches from come and see to go and tell. And as parents, we need to volunteer to go and freely offer our children to go when they volunteer. See, Luke 2:49 says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was saying to his mother Mary and Joseph, it's an emergency. I have to be about my Father's business. And even his death on the cross was an emergency issue with Christ. Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. See, during his early ministry days, Jesus was constantly in a rush to meet the emergency of the time crunch. You remember in Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You see, he wasn't satisfied with just fantastic crowds in one city. He said it's an emergency in every city. World Christians for world vision. That's what we need to be. Pushing into the next towns and the next countries where the Word of God needs to be preached. Mark 13:10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. You see, the need for salvation necessitates the emergency of the gospel. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The now of world evangelism, the now of salvation, the now of anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. Is there an emergency in your mind when you consider the return of the Lord? The great and plenteous harvest, the millions of people who have never heard, and the fast closing doors in many areas, all of these create an emergency. But then lastly, the burning hell necessitates the emergency of the gospel. World anthropologists say that we ought to leave others and their cultures alone, and they're happy with what they believe and their plight in life. So they say it's wrong to disturb them with a different message. Why didn't somebody tell Coca-Cola Company that they ought to be leaving them alone with their natural drinks, and they would upset their culture if Coke was introduced to them? Or the tobacco companies, why don't they take the same view? How about all the other trademarks of Western society that have been imported into these countries? Why is it that just the gospel of Christ that needs to be limited to America? You see, we know when we talk to those of other cultures that they are not happy and contented with their natural religions. There's no peace, no hope for eternal life. There's no way that they can respond to an angry God. We need to help them to understand there's a loving God. A God who loves them. A way to live a contented life. Never a life of fear. A life of meaning and a feeling of reason to live. Now, what's been the prevailing theme of missions recently? It's been to evangelize for the glory of God. Well, that's a good and godly goal. But let's not forget the horror of hell as well. You see, the message of John 3:16 should not perish. Perish where? Perish in what condition? Perish for how long? You see, the burning hell necessitates the emergency of the gospel. That's why Missions Month is so vitally important on the Word for Life radio ministry. We want you to remember that we are here to express our love for God in many ways. But He said we've got to be obeying His commandments if we love Him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are not to tell the people to come and see. His commandments are go and tell. Out of our seats, into the streets, because it's an emergency and not just an urgency. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting some of the mission fields in China that a church that I was pastoring were able to found. And what a thrill it was to introduce these people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know how it took place? The mayor of one town way up in the mountains of China heard of another church that was founded in a community on the other side of the mountain. He went to the dedication of that church just because he was the mayor of a neighboring city. And he was so surprised because the people in that community were not lying and they weren't stealing and they weren't hurting each other and they were just having a wonderful time. And he thought, wow, that's what my community needs. And so he contacted the missionary and he said, would you send some people to my community? And would you tell them the same message that has changed their community? Because that's what my people need. Hey, that's what Go and Tell is all about. And what a thrill it was for my wife and I to be a part of that team of 20 young ladies and 20 young men who went in and sang songs. Everything was in Chinese. They were all Chinese students. Sang songs, and then the gospel was preached. Oh, the devil fought it like everything. But when they were done preaching the gospel, this is the first time these people had ever heard the message. And the preacher said to them, how many of you would be interested in coming to hear me come back and preach next week? And over 200 hands went up, saying, yes, come back and preach again. We want to know how our lives can be changed in this way. And the mayor of the city gave them a building where they could meet free of charge and said, yes, please come back and tell us about your Savior. That's what Go and Tell is all about. And my friend, that's what missions is all about. I trust that your heart will be challenged during this month. I trust that your family's heart will be challenged to go and tell, to send, to pray, to volunteer for short-term missions, to volunteer your heart for full-time missions. But whatever it is, go and tell, not come and see. That is God's message for the New Testament church. How well are you doing?